Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast.
Hello, everybody, and thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome to Sunday. I'm so glad you're here. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm really humbled and grateful when you guys do. I'm always amazed at the comments and feedback that I have. So if you've been a listener and you've tuned in and you like what you're hearing, I'd love to hear your comments. If something I've said has rung true in your life, if it's helped you, encouraged you, or offended you, I'm more than willing to listen. So get a hold of me, and I'd love to start a dialogue with you. Today, because I'm still continuing to do the recording in preparation for my upcoming show called Beyond Everything Radio, it will be airing 11:30 p.m. on Sundays on 670 KLT in the Denver metro area. It will also be available a week later on the podcast. And if you would like to get an app, there will be a way for you to listen live on Sunday mornings as well. So I'm super excited about that. But all that means is that I have to do some recording. And so what I'm doing is I'm pulling out some of the archives. In fact, so many new people have joined here that they haven't heard some of these older posts. And I wasn't doing the podcast back then. So if you haven't gone back and reread things, which many of you haven't, then this will be new content to you. And today, we're going to focus on a post that I did back in April of 2013, and it's called Dormant Potential. Dormant Potential. And so, you know, a lot of times I have a very strong spirituality that comes through in all these messages. In fact, that's the highlighting goal of what I do. But I do talk a lot about business. I am a business person. I work with some tremendous sales and business leaders, and I've learned a lot. And I thought today I would jump in here to kind of use business as a way to kind of highlight some really powerful realities. Okay, so I spend a lot of time in conversations with people, you know, many of them who find themselves stuck in the workplace. You know the drill. I mean, people who have passions, ambitions, and goals and hopes that far transcend the realities of their employment. I mean, most people are really not that satisfied at work. In fact, I saw a recent study that said only not like 40% are happy at work. Most of them are simply not happy. You know, we know that many of the people that we work with are underemployed or they're working in a field that is disconnected from their deepest passion. I mean, I know that's how I kind of perceived the world for the longest time. Many people are working in environments that are based in fear. They're based in control and power plays and, you know, all that politics, which is almost sickening. It's a disincentive in a lot of ways for many, many folks. And thus, many people never really get a chance to thrive in work and in life. And, you know, our work and life, there's this big dichotomy in the world that everybody seems to think you need to have a work-life balance as if the two are separate. They are not separate, folks. In all of my coaching for many, many years and all the leadership projects I've done and serving teams and sales professionals and such, I have always worked very hard to help people understand that your life and your work are not at all separate. When you get a paycheck, it's good news because it helps your life. If you lose your job, it's bad news because it hurts your life. They are one and the same. And yes, they each require a lot of time, and you have to kind of find a way to be completely present in each one. But trust me, there is no such thing as a work-life balance because they're both the same thing. What do you think about that? Just for free. Well, anyway, work cultures are not unlike other cultures, you know, found in religion or politics or education, academics, sports, the arts. You know, everything that you see is a principality or power, as Paul put it. And those in power want to stay in power, right? Isn't that the truth? You know, once you move up to the manager or to the director or the VP level, it's not like you really want to go back down. Sometimes you do, just because the life is different and better in some ways. But those in power want to stay in power, and they want to direct all the worker bees on what to do. And don't get me wrong, there's a need in an organization for people and their efforts, you know, based on jobs and required activities. But there's a big difference between an employer who oppresses by using fear and intimidation. I mean, we've all worked for people like that, and we all see companies like that. And there's a difference between that kind of a company and the leader who inspires a person to bring excellence, even in a pedantic work environment. You know, and that's just because he's connected to a greater mission. And so these are two different work environments that are created by two different leadership styles. They're based on two different fundamental philosophies. I mean, if you boil them down, really, they're just either people first or objectives first, bottom line first, whatever it is. And you know when you're not in a people first environment, don't you? Now, one environment stifles people. The other builds them up. One environment's a prison. The other is really about liberating. It frees people. Now, they both perform the same tasks. You know, if they're, you know, one, they might be selling a widget, and they both sell the widgets. You know, in my work, I worked with this really great company that had a model of people first, and the companies around me didn't all share that same philosophy. And we sold the same products, but it was a completely different experience. You know, and that's the big thing. One of them is darkness. One of them is light. See, I believe we're on the cusp of a real revolution in our world. And, you know, I know that the one percenters and the millennials, they get a bad rap because what they're doing is not just being lazy. They're not just opting out. They're not just trying to be a blogger in their underpants. They're just looking at the corruption. They're looking at these cultures that are dark, soulless, life-sapping cultures. And they're saying, I am not giving my life to that. And so they get a bad rap as people who don't want to work. But the ultimate reality is that they don't want to work in a place where they're going to be sacrificing their deepest core self and their life. And I think that is putting us on the cusp of a real revolution. I mean, we see this more and more where people are less likely to work for systems that oppress. I mean, the trend is for companies to produce greater benefit to the world if they want to attract the best talent. And we're seeing this. I mean, companies with a social conscience are very, very popular. People work much harder for systems that liberate people and cultivate them into their best, you know, self. Yeah, and this is the function of the gospel, as far as I've been able to tell. I mean, the gospel, as Isaiah 61, 1 through 3 and Luke 4, 18 says, it's really liberation of the captive. It's the setting free of a prisoner. It's good news, right? And that's what you can do in a business. The gospel can be business oriented. Yeah, I said it. Business can display the gospel. It can and should, and quite often it does. And, you know, we go through all these things, and right now I'm going through a thing with, you know, a training program on trust, and I can tell you that it's all based in gospel principles that have been around for a long, long time. Now, imagine what a few tweaks could do to the present economy and the world if we just liberated and activated our present workforce. I mean, if our workforce 40% are happy, that means 60% are unhappy. And most of them are just barely engaged, or they'll just barely do what's required just to get through the day. Most of them are just trying to stay busy, look busy, just put their head down and duck. They're not being productive, and it's costing our world a tremendous amount. It's costing our companies a tremendous amount. You know, people don't have to work scared. They really don't. You know, they put in far more of themselves than ever now, but they're not going to do it if they're fear. I mean, how hard do you work with a gun to your head? You know, service goes up because everyone changes from the what's in it for me approach to life, right? Once you kind of get over that and you start realizing you're in a part of a collective of bigger consciousness, then your work quality goes up because it's bigger than yourself. It's not about getting to 5 o'clock. It's really about delivering the best to the customer, to serve people. You know, businesses thrive when they focus on mutually beneficial exchanges of goods and services. These are true win-wins, and we see this across the board where people are saying, look, I'm not in here just to make deals where my company wins and everybody else loses. You know, if you have a company that has this kind of a higher consciousness, then production goes up, profits go up, tax revenues go up, unemployment goes down, opportunity to grow and be the best possible environment also rises, the people flourish wherever they are. I mean, it's totally transportable to every system on the globe. And I want you to hear that, because what's good in business is good for the world. And it's not just a pipe dream. It's possibility. And it's already happening. It's already happening in smaller ways, in smaller companies. And maybe we do have to wait for some of these big, you know, blue chips to die out, become irrelevant before a new generation of companies emerges. But if those new generations lack the higher consciousness and the development of their souls, then their companies are going to be also based upon maximum profits and not maximum benefit to the world. And so a changed disposition among the workforce can change the world. A new idea makes all the difference to everyone on the globe, but it's not a new idea. You see, this is an idea that's been around for years. It was promised in Judaism, it's found in many of the world's religions, and it's the hallmark of authentic Christianity. And it's as distinct as cultural Christianity as it can be. And what I mean by that is authentic Christianity and cultural Christianity are not the same thing. One is an kind of an ulterior religion known to hate everything, and the other is something truly deep and beautiful. You see, these principles of serving people, serving humanity, developing life, and all of that, this is the promise of a new kingdom. See, the benefit of people being inspired by a leader who leads and liberates them from the inside out. That's how you know you're in this new kingdom. It's inside out. It's not outside in. It's not a drive for external measurements. It's a focus on internal awareness that ultimately transforms our externals. See, people are getting this everywhere I go. And I think it's time we all work together to liberate those potential things that are happening, to liberate the people, to liberate the opportunities, to liberate our companies, right? We need to free things. Let's play to win. And let's stop playing to lose. Right? Or playing not to lose. You know, one is a mindset of scarcity and, you know, it's a zero-sum game out there. There's only so many widgets that people will buy this year, and we need them to buy from us. You know, if you just play defense and live in scarcity, you miss the entire abundance story. And you miss things. You miss optimism. You miss opportunity. You miss expansion. You miss... How costly is that, not only to our own lives, but to business? So let's stop playing not to lose and start playing to win. Let's play offense, not defense. Let's enlist hope and not despair. Let's look for liberty, not captivity. It all starts with our disposition. And what is it that you're going to bring to your work today? Are you going to bring hope or despair, offense or defense, liberty or captivity, expansion or contraction, scarcity or abundance? See, these are within you. In each moment of each day, you have the capacity to bring that into light, into your place of employment. And no matter what it is, whether you think your job is meaningless and doesn't really help anybody and it's not that important, I assure you it is. Because even the most trivial job becomes way worse when you bring this a negative disposition into it. And then if you have to engage with a customer, the customer experience just goes in the toilet. If you're one of these people that can really shine a bright light, you could go to the DMV and make that experience as good as possible. And that would be amazing, wouldn't it? So what will you bring today to work? What will you do? You know, will you do unto others as you'd have them do unto you? And if so, then you're a worker in the kingdom of light. you're a worker in God's kingdom. You may not even have thought of it like that. You may not even see yourself as a religious person. But you're a worker in the kingdom. You're a worker of light. You're a worker of hope. You're a worker of liberation. You are a worker of the gospel. And it's your choice on which kingdom you want to create.
Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.